discuss a few parables today. There are a lot of feasts mentioned in the Bible, so let's do the marriage and wedding feasts. If you want to read along with me, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 2 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them that which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come into the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." So let's look at this parable with understanding, because Jesus wasn't just telling bedtime stories. He wanted us to get some understanding here about the kingdom of heaven. In some way, it's likened to the story that we just read. So, the parable describes how it takes marrying, or in other words, having a relationship with Christ, in order to get the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, within our mind. So the relationship with Christ that we want to have is spoken of by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, where he says, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you unto one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So Paul wanted people's minds to be in a Holy Spirit condition to be ready to mix with the words that Christ would bring. And this is what will produce the kingdom of heaven within our mind. So the king mentioned in this verse is God. He knows that a person must marry this Christ depth of spirit in order to see or understand his kingdom. In the second verse, it showed that he sent forth servants to call them that were bidden, and they didn't come. Now the servants are God's ministers of the New Testament, like it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that we can be able ministers of this New Testament. These New Testament ministers will serve out the message or the invitation for people to come to and participate in this wedding. They do that by preaching out God's word, and people hear the words. And if it intrigues them, if it captures their mind, then God wants them to come on in and eat of this marriage feast. Now, this marriage feast is mentioned in the book of Revelation in chapter 19. It talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb and the bride, and this is what we've been invited to. However, when the New Testament message was presented to the religious leaders, it was rejected. So what did he do? Well, in verse 4, he sent forth other servants, and he said, Tell them that are bidden, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come to the marriage. So this shows God's mercy. He gave the religious leaders every opportunity to partake of the deeper spiritual message. When you read in the New Testament, you find that Jesus presented this message to the religious leaders many, many times. He didn't just abandon them the first time that they rejected his message. So what we have here is that this dinner, which is symbolic of God's doctrine, it's ready. And his oxen, which is symbolic of God's ministers, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians, they are killed, which is symbolic of the fact that these ministers have crucified their old man self, as it tells us in Galatians 2:20, that we can crucify our old man, just like Paul said he had done his. And this enables us to do God's will, as it tells us in Matthew 26, that Jesus said, Not as I will, but as thou wilt. So God wants us to become a minister. He wants us to crucify our old man and be willing to do God's will. And this is how God makes things ready for people to marry Christ, spirit realm within their mind. So what we see in 5 and 6 is the people that were invited to the marriage feast, they made light of it. They went their way. One went to the farm, one went to his merchandise. And the other ones, the remnant, took the servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. So this shows what the religious leaders did. They did their own thing. They rejected God's call to the deeper New Testament depth of spirit. As it tells us in prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 65 and 66, that God said, "When I called, none did answer. When I spake, they didn't hear, but they did evil, and they chose that in which I delighted not." So that had been the pattern with people all along. Many do not choose to receive God's word when they're presented with it. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers, and he burned up their cities. Now, once God realizes that they have made a final choice to reject him, and again, it's not God doing it, but it's by their own choice, then he turns them over to the evil that they have chosen. As a result, they are destroyed by that evil that they have chosen. So in the next three verses, 8, 9, and 10, God sends out, or the king here sends out his servants to say to other people that the wedding is ready. Go and find other people. And so they go out in the highways and they gather as many as they can, both good and bad, so that there will be guests for this wedding. So what we find from this spiritually is when the religious leaders rejected Christ, God sent out his message to the Gentiles. Just like we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, Paul said it was necessary, speaking to the Jews, that the word of God should have first been presented unto you. But seeing that you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So God was determined to have the wedding, regardless of whether the Jewish people, the leaders, accepted Christ's message or whether they didn't. The message is always to the leaders first and to God's people. If they reject it, then it goes to other people, whoever they are. The halt and the maimed would be anyone, Jew or Gentile, that would accept this deeper depth and come to this marriage feast by accepting God's word within their mind. So 11, 12, and 13, and 14 say, the king came to see these guests, and there was one man in there that didn't have on a wedding garment. And the king asked him about that, and he didn't have anything to say. So the king said to bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. There are weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he says, many are called, but few are chosen. So this is symbolic of the fact that when God comes to see these guests, people that are starting to move on, then there's someone there that hasn't put on a spiritual garment, which means they haven't really taken this New Testament message to heart. It takes more than just hearing the word. It takes putting it into practice, as we read in James chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, that we're not to be a hearer only, but we're to be a doer of the work. Now, the outer darkness where this person is cast, it's where God isn't spiritually guiding someone. If we reject God's New Testament message, then how could he guide us? And this ends up happening, and it moves a person farther away from God, shown by the weeping here, and just endless arguing over what the scriptures mean, which is symbolized by the gnashing of teeth. Now, God does the calling, but it is up to each individual to answer the call and follow his word. Answering the call is what causes someone to be chosen, as it tells us in Revelation chapter 17, that they that are with the Lamb are called and chosen and faithful. So God calls us, but we make the choices to become chosen. So another parable about a feast is in Luke chapter 14. Verse 7, and he put forth a parable to those that were bidden when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come to thee and say, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down at the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So this verse, we can go back to verses 8 and 9. What the setup here is that someone was going into a wedding and sitting down at the very honorable seats. But he says, don't do that. He says, because someone more honorable than you may come along, and you'll have to be moved to a lower seat. And that's kind of a shameful condition. Now, this is symbolic for us, just like the other parable was. So being bidden to the wedding feast shows being called to a deeper spiritual depth of spirit. The admonition is not to sit in the highest room. It shows the importance of not getting ahead of God and trying to get something that you're not spiritually ready for. An example of this would be someone trying to teach when really they're in the condition that they should be learning more about this deeper depth. So the more honorable man is someone that already has a deeper depth of God's Spirit, and he does belong in the high room because he can listen to God, and he has something within his mind that should be listened to. So a person trying to get ahead of God find themselves placed where they really need to be, which shows to recognize that they're not in a spiritual depth that they really thought they were in. So when he says what to do is to sit in the low room, and then when the one that invited you, he'll come to you and he'll say, come up higher. Now this is symbolic. Taking a place in the lowest room shows humility and meekness. Humility is to not be puffed up and think we know more than we do, and meekness is a condition of being teachable. And this is necessary in order to grow into the deeper depths of God's Spirit. This is when God can use a person, when we have been meek, teachable, we've been humble, not thought we already knew it all, then God can place things in our mind and then bring us up into a deeper depth of spirit, and then we will have something of honor in our mind to teach someone else. And he says, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So if people think more highly of themselves than they should, God can't use them. But if someone is willing to humble themselves, then God can feed that person more of his Spirit. As it tells us in James chapter 4 and 1 Peter chapter 5, that we can humble ourselves in the sight of God, or that we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So continuing on in Luke chapter 14, verses 12, 13, and 14, a slightly different story. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. So these verses teach us a little something about our motive. It shows the importance of not doing something with a selfish motive of getting something in return. This is what people of the world do. But when something is done, it should be done for God with no expectation of a reward or recompense. If love is the motive for helping someone, then God will reward that person in the spirit realm with resurrection to life.